They say that to truly understand how someone thinks and feels, you need to walk a mile in their shoes. If you're suffering from mental illness, that means the support of someone who's no stranger to the mental health system. Louise Byrne has a history of mental illness, but she's using her experience in a unique way, teaching mental health nurses about the benefits of peer support. And Louise joins us now from Rockhampton. Welcome, Louise.
Thanks, Cassie.
Now, Louise, you're a doctor, actually, a lecturer in lived experience mental health at the Central Queensland University. Is this the first time an Australian university has had a title like that amongst its academics?
No, but it was the second. My role, the first was at University of Melbourne, a lady named Kath Roper, and then my position was a few years later, but it was the first full-time lived experience role of its kind that we know of in the world, actually. So that was pretty exciting.
So you're advocating for peer support workers in the mental health system. What does someone with lived experience offer?
Well, I'm advocating for peer support, but that's one component of the lived experience workforce. People with a lived experience are working in peer support roles. They're also working in systemic advocacy positions. They're advising government. They're sitting in representation roles on boards, committees, forums. They're also working in education roles and research roles like mine. So there's a broad range of spaces that people with a lived experience are contributing. And a lot of this is around the need for reform. And government and services and everyone's basically agreed probably 23 years ago that Australia urgently needed mental health reform. And one of the increasingly emphasised aspects of that is the need to hear from the people who access services in order to be able to provide service provision that is relevant and meaningful.
So in an ideal world, a lived experience worker would help bring about a shift in culture, a kind of transfer of power away from the clinician and the system to an empowerment of the patient.
Precisely. And that is the intention. And many clinicians and many services agree with that. And government policy indicates that that's the direction that we should be moving in. The World Health Organization shows us that that's the direction we should be going in, because patient empowerment or service user empowerment leads to much better outcomes. I think fairly commonsensically, when somebody feels able to guide their own healing, they're more empowered and they're more likely to take responsibility for themselves and do everything that they possibly can to move forward.
Louise, could you tell us about your experience? You have a history of mental illness that sort of began, I understand, in your mid-teens. What happened?
I had traumas, significant traumas around that age. An assumption was made that there was something biologically wrong with me, which wasn't actually the case. I think that if people had talked with me about the things that had happened to me and given me support and assisted me to heal from those experiences, things would have been very different. But that's not what happened. So instead, I was put on very heavy doses of medication, so much so that Mum said that it would take her hours to wake me up in the morning to try and get me off to school. It was almost impossible keeping me in school, and I did leave in year 11 initially. I was in and out of hospital. I was actually at that time being put into a geriatric ward because I grew up in a regional area and there was no paediatric space for children with psychiatric difficulties. So essentially I was, I guess, set on a very different path from what I would have thought that my life was going to be like. My diagnosis was very public. My entire community was aware of it. My behaviour was pretty out there, I guess, because I was very angry and upset and frightened. And so I was acting out because of my immaturity and my age. I was unable to find the words to explain what had happened and what was happening emotionally for me. So instead I was, you know, as many teenagers do, just sort of running around and showing people that I was upset but without actually communicating. I also felt that had anyone really wanted to know what had happened to me, they would have asked, and no one did. So I guess there was this code of silence, which happens for a lot of people who have mental health challenges. An enormous percentage of people who go on to have mental health diagnoses and significant mental health challenges have childhood traumas.
So while you were negotiating this system that really wasn't connecting with you, you were also so depressed. You were actually suicidal. You had attempted suicide on a couple of occasions.
I had, yes. And I felt like I had no value, really. Initially the trauma, what had been done to me, had significantly decreased my belief that I had any value. And then the fact that this label was placed on me, which again decreased my value. I was the psycho kid. I was the crazy kid, and there was a lot of fairly open discrimination against me at that age, mostly from children, but from parents as well.
So in your case, you needed someone to really be that bridge between you and what was happening in your very fragile world and this rather harsh, brightly lit world of the medical establishment and the school and your community.
Absolutely. I feel like the part of the role of the lived experience practitioner, no matter where they sit, is almost as a translator, and we're able to sit in both spaces because we've sort of typically moved on a bit in our journey, and we're able to explain what was happening for us, and that also allows us to explain what's happening for other people to a degree. Everyone's experience is unique, but to help other people have a better understanding of what's occurring for someone who's currently so caught up in their distress and their their trauma that they're unable to speak coherently themselves.
Now, you say that people with lived experience of mental illness need to be in positions of authority for there to be real change. How difficult would that be in the current workplace atmosphere of the mental health sector?
I think a lot of it is about attitudinal change, which is happening slowly. It's about workplace culture. In some areas, in New South Wales, there's an organisation called Richmond PRA. They're a non-government organisation, and they've actually really taken these concepts on board, and they're now asking, why not a peer worker? So every new position that is developed at Richmond PRA, they actually have to argue, if they don't want it to be a lived experience role, they have to provide a good reason why not. And they're aiming to have half of their workforce lived experience. They already employ over 100 peer workers. So some organisations can really see the value. And I think it's a little bit of a chicken and an egg situation. In the places where there's less engagement with lived experience perspectives and roles, it tends to have been because they haven't had them before. In the places where they've had more lived experience involvement and they've been able to see the value that it adds, then they're more likely to have been willing to make structural changes and to look at their practice.
Well, Dr. Louise Byrne, you really have started a conversation, and it's all about normalising these experiences that many, many people have but don't necessarily talk about. I'm going to give some numbers in a moment, Lifeline and Beyond Blue. What do you think from your lived experience of those numbers being given when this subject is discussed?
My advice is always try whomever you think is the most relevant to you, but always listen to yourself. If it doesn't feel right, if the click's not there with that person and you don't feel like they get you and you get them, feel free to keep looking. So there's many services available. There's many different people out there, and finding somebody that you have a natural rapport with can really assist in your healing journey.
Thank you so much again for talking with us.
No problem. Thanks, Cassie.
That's Dr. Louise Byrne, lecturer in lived experience mental health at the Central Queensland University in Rockhampton. And those numbers, should you ever care to use them, are Lifeline 131114, 131114, and Beyond Blue 1300 22 46 36, 1300 22 46 36. Cassie McCullough with you on Life Matters. Gee, that was fascinating what Louise was telling us. Maybe you've got thoughts on the matter. Why not leave us a message on our listener line, 02-833-1430, 02-833-1430. Be keen to hear what you think of, the challenges that those ideas present.